It's the boss.
I call shots like a boss.
And the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gao
and Carla Dawson.
I got that.
Welcome back. You are listening to Sports Map Radio and an update on the Bills game. They are leading 21-10 over the Steelers in the fourth quarter. So it would seem the Bills are on their way to a victory, though time will tell. We have a victory of our own here. We have John Granato in studio with us. John Granato is a show host on KFNC Houston and an expert in all things Houston sports, and particularly today, the Texans, who have a great playoff victory over the Browns. Congrats to the Texans, D'Amico Ryans, C.J. Stroud, the whole team here. One of the things we were just talking about, John, before you got in, was how little media coverage has been focused on the Texans, though they're one of the great stories of this year, the turnaround from last year.
Well, in large part because even the NFL Network didn't know that they played every game at noon this year. Game at noon.
Right? Yeah, this was their first, like, late game.
They had no primetime game. They didn't have a 3 o'clock game because they moved the Denver game to noon, the 3 o'clock game that they had. So it's not a wonder. The Texans have been persona non grata for 3 years.
And they're coming off a 3-13-1 season.
Yeah, so and listen, they got twice as many, more than twice as many. They got this year, they got more than the last 3 years combined.
Exactly.
So it's really not it's not a surprise that they're not, but they are probably the best story in the NFL this year, and it's a shame that the national media doesn't know anything about them. We were talking about it before we came on. It's like they talk about them for 2 minutes. They don't know what to say about the Texans.
They don't.
They really don't. Other than C.J. Stroud,
right?
But there's so many stories. Derek Stingley is better than Sauce Gardner. Sauce Gardner did not play as well as Derek Stingley.
No, he didn't.
No.
And that was a turnaround.
Christian Harris is now a really, really good linebacker. Picking up Derek Barnett.
Oh, that was a great pick.
Will Anderson Jr. It's got Jonathan Greenard is going to get a big contract after this year.
Yep.
Tank Dell. Nico Collins is one wide receiver.
Noah Brown, discarded from the Cowboys.
And he was great this year. Unfortunately, he's hurt, and he's done for the year now after the other day. Devin Singletary. Damian Pierce coming into this season. He can't even get a carry anymore.
I know.
That's a shame. It really hurt. But Devin Singletary is so good, you can't put him on the field. It is a story after story. Laremy Tunsil is the best left tackle, and he didn't get a Pro Bowl vote from the media. He got it from the players. The players voted him first team, but the media did not because they don't know. He shut down Myles Garrett.
Oh. There was not even a question. And he was hurt. He got hurt early on in that game.
Yes.
Came back and still managed to absolutely. I mean, C.J. Stroud had a clean pocket pretty much all game. And even if he doesn't, it doesn't matter. It's C.J.
The Texans had the most dominant performance of the weekend, and they don't know what to say about it.
And the biggest margin of victory over the whole wild card weekend.
The most dominant performance, even more so than the Packers. Now, the Packers went into a tougher place to play and all of that stuff. It was great by the Packers. And I kind of love it. Sorry, David.
With all due respect, yes.
He understands
that. How'd the Raiders do?
But you know what? As long as they hire Antonio Pierce, I'm feeling
happy.
Good. There's my happy pen. I'm still like holding on to it.
Okay.
Jeez-o.
But let's go back to the job D'Amico Ryan has done. Carla keeps talking about culture. And the culture of the Texans.
I can't stress it enough.
The culture of the Texans for the last few years was just miserable. You know, they had all those ugly stories about Easterby, et cetera. And now,
Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien and the culture here under that run was awful. Right now, it seems like they've just figured it all out. And D'Amico Ryans is the voice in that locker room has been extraordinary.
It's really great. I hate to lose Bobby Slowick, but he's gone after this year. And I wonder how, because we see what Jalen Hurts after Shane Steichen left. It's not the same.
Yeah.
It's not the same. So I'm hoping that Gerard Johnson, who is the quarterback coach in that room, I'm hoping he can take over. There was a question whether or not Bobby Slowick, who hadn't called plays. But listen, if you're under that Gary Kubiak, Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan tree, you are succeeding in the NFL. It's way better than any Belichick tree.
Oh, my gosh. Forget the Belichick tree.
No, that was terrible. This tree is unbelievable how good it is. And Bobby Slowick is real. Bobby Slowick's going to get a job. There are seven openings. Real openings right now. So he's going to get one of them.
Wow.
And you're dumb if you don't take him. You're dumb. because he looks like he's about 13 years old.
He does. Well, I can't get over it.
Yeah. And I thought, he's been mentioned with a lot of these head coaching opportunities. I always thought, well, maybe this is the first year he gets mentioned, and then it takes a year before. Maybe it's the second year actually
to
part.
But
you're convinced that he's too hot a commodity. Someone like the Titans are going to go grab him right now.
The Titans or, I mean, the Cowboys won't because they're too – they'll probably go for Belichick. And you know what, though? If you're smart, look at McDaniel over in Miami. McVay, LaFleur in Green Bay. I mean, it's guy after guy after – Shanahan was a young guy. All of these young coaches, innovative coaches, they're what – Steichen and the Colts. I mean, again, and he's a defensive guy. But it's young guys that are innovative, that are – you know what? And guys can relate to.
Yep.
And by all accounts – the Texans love what he is doing here, and I just don't see. I don't think Bobby Slowick. There's no way he lasts here another year. No way. And you know what?
I get it though.
Hopefully, Gerard Johnson is he's paid his dues. He's a guy. If he's learned, hopefully he's sitting there learning. And he's on the headset every game, and he's seeing and hearing. Whether or not that translates to you doing it is another story, right? You can hear it. You can hear it. You can hear it. But Bobby Slowick didn't call any plays in San Francisco. This is the first year he's called plays, right?
Yep.
And it started out a little dicey. It was kind of like, okay, this is what I would expect from a first-year play caller.
Well, he's also got a first-year quarterback. He's got
and a first-year head coach.
Offensive line that was all banged up. All of those things.
Wow.
And yet, what
and
he's
yet.
Done. I think he's the assistant coach of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I there are other guys, obviously, that are so – it's really so good. Jim Schwartz in Cleveland, he's done with that defense.
Well,
but except on the road.
That voting was done before the weekend.
Yes, that's right.
Done on
but on the road, the Browns were terrible on the road.
Yep.
Their defense was terrible on the road.
They were two different teams.
They really were. Teams. And we showed them this week.
Let's think about the awards that might come the Texans' way. Who's the coach of the year?
It's to me. Well,
I don't know. They might give it
you
to
know what?
Stefanski.
Those heads up, Kevin Stefanski beat him. In the regular season.
Right.
And he had five different quarterbacks he had to deal with throughout the season. If the voting was Sunday, it's D'Amico Ryans. But
I'm thinking it's D'Amico. Who's the offensive player, rookie of the year?
Stroud.
Yes, Stroud. Yeah. Defensive player, rookie of the year.
It's Will Anderson.
Will Anderson.
I hope so.
Assistant
Bobby
coach Sloan. Of the year.
Bobby and executive of the year. It's Nick Caserio.
It should be.
What award are they not going to get this year?
Well, you know, there's nobody that improved more. And it's all, you know what that award is? It's an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all, all of those are how much did you improve and how much did you overachieve? And they overachieved in every aspect this year. Who thought the Texans would be
in the
divisional round?
You know what?
Or looking at winning the AFC South. No.
No.
Having double-digit wins. No. And being
winning
so
a playoff
much
game.
Fun to watch.
No. And against a good team. It wasn't like, you know, the Texans had beat the Raiders when they didn't have a quarterback.
Easy now.
They
easy
beat
easy
the
now.
Bills when they weren't good before Josh Allen got there. They beat, you know, they beat Cincinnati, which was Cincinnati. You know, this is the greatest. By the way, I was there. Did you guys go?
No. Oh, gosh. Tell us about it.
What was the environment like?
It was I was on the sideline. I was the sideline reporter for the first 5 years of this organization. Billy Miller scoring the first touchdown against the Cowboys, beating the Cowboys in the first ever game. That was the highlight of because the first 5 years were pretty terrible.
Yep.
But I'd been there for every playoff game, every really big game that they played there. It was the best atmosphere ever.
Oh.
It was the best atmosphere I've ever been to at NRG Stadium.
I think part of it is there's been such a dearth, such a desert. So then when you finally get to this kind of success and you see that culture and that enthusiasm, I can imagine the crowd was just over the top delighted.
But,
finally.
Yes.
It's taken him a while.
But, well, here's the deal, though. As bad as they were, the Easterby, the Bill O'Brien years, the Cal... It was just it was so hard to root for them. It was so hard.
100%.
Listen, there was a waiting list of 120,000 people that wanted to get season tickets, and it was nothing. I gave up my season tickets. I had season tickets for 20 years.
Yeah.
You did too.
Mm-hmm.
20 years I had season tickets. I said, I'm not doing this anymore.
I don't blame
I can't
you.
Do it. And it took a while. Even like the Titans game, when the, even the yeah the Titans game when they're fighting to get into the playoffs, it wasn't full.
I know.
You're like
me.
People were like, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
Well,
you
fooled me once. So
you fooled me so many times, but that I'm telling you on Saturday,
and it was sold out.
It was the best. Listen, the Browns fans would have filled it up. They would,
yeah.
But I'm proud of Texans fans because I went to the Denver game, and it was behind the Denver bench. It was all Denver people, and I was up there with executives from the Texans, and they said, "Those are all Texan season tickets." They gave them up.
Mm-hmm.
They gave up their season tickets to the Denver fans, and I thought, "Well, Browns fans are going to fill this place." Uh-uh. It was Texans. Texans fans were there, proud of them. It couldn't have been better.
I mean. It really is an unreal situation. Let me ask you this, John. You're a betting man and a really good betting man. House money. I look at C.J. Stroud. I look at Jordan Love.
Before you go to that question, let's take a break and you can come back to that question because she has a great theory about house money and playing free as opposed to playing
versus
with tension.
Versus the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, versus Lamar Jackson?
Exactly.
And what he's
That's
got
what
up
I
against?
Say. Yeah.
What
yes.
he's up against? Yeah.
All right, we're going to address that when we come back. We've got John Granato in studio. He is a show host on KFNC Houston. We're talking Texans right now. We will return to that when we come back here on Sports Map Radio.
Is the boss
and the gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network
from the Sports Map Radio Studios? Here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back to Sports Map Radio and an update on the Bills Steelers game. It's the Bills leading 24-17, 8 minutes remaining in this game. Bills have the ball. Obviously, they're trying to run some time off the clock. They are controlling things. Second and five now as they enter into Steelers territory. Bills leading 24-17. We've got John Granato in studio. John's a show host on KFNC Houston. So we've been talking a bit of Texans football. And Carl, you wanted to talk about the idea of playing with house money, the idea of playing freely without sort of the tension of being expected to win. Walk us through your thought and your question for John.
Okay, John, you're the expert. So I really want to get your thoughts on this. But, you know, this weekend, Texans were underdogs. So were the Packers. They both had very tough situations. Texas facing the number one total overall defense in Cleveland. They were at home. The Packers with Jordan Love, the youngest team in the NFL, going into where the Dallas Cowboys were playing 16-0 at AT&T. Both of them coming out victors and big victors. And so my thought to you is you got C.J. Stroud and Jordan Love and both these teams playing with house money. No one really, after a 3-13-1 season last year with the Texans, expected them to be here. Same with Jordan Love. Once Aaron Rodgers left, they're saying, oh, Aaron Rodgers complained about the lack of weapons, this and that. And look what both of them did. And not to mention that after the end of the weekend, both C.J. Stroud and Jordan Love, 157.2 passer rating, were the fourth highest passer rating in NFL playoff history. Talk to me about this.
Well, here's the deal. And you do put pressure on yourself. And here's the thing that I didn't love about the Ravens. Second to last week, he didn't have to play. Lamar Jackson didn't have to play. He didn't play in the bye week. It's 3 weeks since he's played.
And that was the Dolphins game where they just No.
Last game of the season, he played against the Steelers. He didn't have to play. Then he had a bye.
Yes.
And now he's got this week. So it's basically 3 weeks that he hasn't played. I don't love that if I'm the Ravens because he is sitting there for 3 weeks and you get your timing and everything, and his timing isn't great anyway. He has something to prove in the postseason.
Yeah, he does.
C.J. Stroud doesn't have anything to prove in the postseason. Everybody loves him. He's got the greatest rookie season ever. They can play freely. You're absolutely right. The Texans can go in there. I mean, that Colts game where the first play is 75 yards, oh, touchdown. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? That you can play freely when you're just like, no, nobody believes in us. That's fine. I agree with you. I think the Texans can go in there freewheeling. The Steelers are right now doing it. They're
exactly.
7 points down. Now, they just scored. The Bills just scored.
Yeah, so now it's
But it was a 10-point. This was a 10-point game.
Yep.
You're Mason Rudolph against Josh Allen on the road in the cold and everything else. How in the world? It's a 10-point favorite. I think Steelers cover. They're going to come back and cover this game. You're playing with house money. Exactly what you're talking about. I think the Texans are a really live dog. Somebody asked me, like, what's the line going to be against the Ravens? And they're all 6.5, 7 points. Give me those 7 points. You're going to give me 7 points with Houston Texans right now? I really think this could come down to not only a field goal, but it could be that the Texans are leading in the last couple minutes of this football game.
We'll know. Look at Lamar Jackson's season when he was MVP. And
he's
going to
be MVP right now.
Yeah, he will.
Yeah, there are questions about him in the postseason with it. Will add to this pressure, which is certainly something that works in the Texans' favor. So we're going to find out very shortly. I mean, the Bills now leading 31-17 over Pittsburgh. But would you rather, as a Texans supporter, would you rather that they face the Chiefs or the Ravens?
To me, I don't know. I think they're 6 and 1/2 dozen on the other. Mm-hmm.
That's you got
to feel. Listen, the Ravens are a better football team right now. But Patrick Mahomes is a better postseason player than Lamar Jackson is.
Yep.
So I would have preferred the Chiefs over the Browns, if you want to know the truth. But, man, I take that back because that home field advantage was so much better. I think – and they're not going to be cold. I think it doesn't – you know what? I really do think it's 6 and 1/2 dozen. Mm-hmm. But they're going to face the Ravens. The Bills are going to win this football
looks
game.
Like the Bills are on their way, which is about 7 minutes remaining and a big lead.
And does your line, the fact that Mark Andrews is coming back for Baltimore, does that affect you at all?
Isaiah Likely played well.
Yeah.
He really did.
Yeah.
Likely took his place, and I don't think they missed a beat. I know this because I had Mark Andrews in fantasy, and then when he went down, I took Isaiah Likely. I did pick up Njoku, but Likely was really, really good. I mean, it doesn't matter. Lamar is going to throw to that tight end, and the Texans aren't really good. But I'm going to tell you, they got Odell. They got Zay Flowers. Those are not guys. Amari Cooper did nothing against the Texans in the second game.
He was somewhat beat up.
Yeah, well, he was. His heel was hurting, but...
But he was out there. So
but he was there, and you know what? Derek Stingley shot him down. The way that Nelson...
Oh,
the Texans do not cover
Nelson.
The tight end well. I could fully expect Mark Andrews to have a nice game, and I wouldn't be surprised if they don't play two tight ends. Likely was that good. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if they're playing two tight ends, and it's the Texans' weakness because their safeties aren't very good covering, their linebackers aren't very good covering, other than Cashman. He's pretty good covering.
Wow, he's been great, yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised at all if the tight ends don't have bigger games than their wide receivers.
We've got John Granato in studio with us. He's a show host on KFNC Houston here in Houston. So I wanted to ask, the receiving corps for the Texans, pretty beat up. How do you think they navigate through that?
Well, Nico's just turned into another number one.
Yeah.
I mean, without Tank, now without Noah.
How about Jordan Brevin turning on the gas the other day?
Yeah.
That
I mean, there's another two tight end set.
Yep.
You're going to have to go with Dalton Schultz and you're going to have to go with Jordan Brevin. Mechie had actually a nice game.
He did.
He really did. And he hasn't stepped up like we thought he was going to, but he had a nice game the other day. They're not as good as they would be if they weren't blocking Tank on goal line plays. That'd be great if don't do that anymore. I was really PO'd about that, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah,
fair.
I mean, he shouldn't be inside blocking.
No.
I asked Dana Holgorsen, did you ever block him? No. Why would I block him inside on a goal line play? But they did that. It was a mistake. Whatever. They're not as good. But you know what? The Ravens aren't as good as wide receiver either. So we'll see. I think that's a pretty even matchup. I think the quarterbacks are actually a pretty even matchup. I think the offensive line for the Texans is pretty good. I think the running game is pretty good for both teams. Their defense might be a little bit better than the Texans, but the Texans aren't bad, and they proved it against the Browns. The home field advantage might play. I think the home field that might, and the cold might play.
I was going to say, it's outside.
Although
stadium.
They get to the Texans get to practice this week in
cold. Yeah. There you go.
How about that?
It's pretty cold in Houston right now.
Yeah. That's right.
That's a fact.
Will Anderson, when the Texans used all that draft capital to trade up and get Will Anderson, I can remember thinking my big lament at the time was, well, they gave up the 2024 first-round pick, and that's going to be such a high pick they're going to regret having done that. Now that pick will be like deep into the first round because the Texans are a playoff team. So now looking back at that trade, there was a lot of angst in our building here at KFNC Houston that maybe the Texans had overpaid to come up and get Will Anderson. But he has been what they had hoped he would be.
And more so.
And the ceiling is, hasn't even been touched yet. I
mean, yeah, and he's had some issues health-wise.
Yep.
He is – I would do it – I mean, listen, Nick Caserio knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing with Christian Harris in the third round. He knew what he was doing with Stingley, even though Stingley has been injured. I think he's better than Sauce Gardner. And he got killed for all last year because Stingley didn't play and Sauce Gardner was the best corner in the – and Stingley's better right now. I mean, we crushed him for not giving up their own pick instead of not giving up the Browns pick instead of their own. It's thing after thing after thing that we were crushing Nick Caserio for, and he was right.
Well, he stayed steadfast though. You got to give him that credit too.
No, and he was like, "Listen, I think I know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Y'all talk about sports. I'm doing it." Okay.
Right.
Well, what's amazing to me is they used all that high draft capital on three positions of perhaps the most three important positions, a shutdown corner, a pass rushing player in Will
and
Anderson,
quarterback.
And then, of course, quarterback. I mean, you've got those three studs all taken in the first three or four picks of their respective years.
And then
years.
Don't forget, they re-signed Laremy Tunsil as well
and
gave him money. That they, you know, they had to
it
do,
and crazy.
The left tackle, the pass rusher, the quarterback, and the corner, and they said these are our guys. Now Stingley's got to stay on the field. Will Anderson and CJ have to prove it again. They did it their rookie year, but you know, you never know. And Tunsil is Tunsil. He's really, really good. So
he's really.
I mean,
good.
They're. I'm going to have to admit it, which I don't admit too often. They're smarter than we are.
What?
Dang
not
it.
Smarter than you.
No.
Not smarter than
I said
you, John Granato.
I said it, and I'm not taking it back.
All right, he is John Granato. You can hear him on KFNC Houston each morning, each weekday morning, 7 to 10 a.m. Central. John, thanks so much for coming in today.
It's awesome. Thank you for having
thanks
me.
Thanks for coming. Best
in this
ever.
Freezing Houston weather.
Yeah, how about it?
Woo. You got through the snow. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Be right back to listen to Sports Map Radio.
This is The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Okay, Carla, one of the big... Actually, we better give an update on the big game that's underway right now. It is Buffalo leading Pittsburgh 31-17 with just 3.5 minutes remaining in the game. So it does appear the Bills will go on to win this game. Credit Mike Tomlin and company. They certainly didn't have...
They gave it a fight.
They didn't have the talent. But they were in this thing until the Bills scored this late touchdown here. It was 24-17 with 8 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter. It was anybody's game. But now the Bills are pulling away.
And Buffalo has 14 points off turnovers. There's the game right there.
So that does set up next week's AFC tournament. And it will be the Texans going to face the Ravens, and that will be a really great matchup.
In Baltimore, yeah.
It was so fun to have John Granato here. He's here in Houston and obviously knows everything about the Texans.
Gosh, he's amazing.
He's covered them most of his career, and he actually thinks the Texans have a very good shot against the number one seed in the AFC, the Ravens.
Well, you know, the Ravens have a little bit of the playoff history, very similar to Dallas. Not quite as long, not quite as sad, but they tend to lay an egg compared to how they are in the regular season.
Yep.
And it looks like at this point that Lamar Jackson is probably going to win the MVP again this year. Last time he did, he stunk it up in the playoffs, early exit. So, I mean, at this point, you know, I wouldn't be sad as a Texans fan if the Ravens beat us because I didn't even think we would be here.
Yeah, the Texans, as you've said, are playing with house money.
Yeah.
Okay, a team that was not playing with house money was the Dallas Cowboys. And, of course, they faced the Packers, who were, and feeling very good. The Packers played loose. They played really well. And now that Cowboys face some difficult questions in the offseason, not the least of which is what to do with their head coach, I think the rumors are swirling that Mike McCarthy's era is going to end. And on the one hand,
soon.
On the one hand, yeah, well, I think Jones will make the decision in the next few days. But on the one hand, after that game, you could say, well, he ought to be fired, kick him out. But on the other hand, the guy has won 12 games each of the last three seasons. And the season before was the season when Dak Prescott missed the entire year. Remember that awful opening game when he had that awful ankle injury, the bone was exposed. And so that season was McCarthy's first. And you give him a mulligan on that one because no team does well when that kind of tragedy strikes typically. But the last three seasons when he's had Prescott and they played well and they've won 12 games, now they have this stinker of a game and McCarthy's on the hot seat. One thing I find sort of interesting is just a week ago, the logic was, well, maybe Jerry will fire McCarthy to enable him to keep Dan Quinn because there were all these concerns that Dan Quinn would depart for somewhere like Seattle and the Cowboys would lose him, and the only way to keep him would be to elevate him to head coach. So fire McCarthy, keep Quinn, and the beat goes on. But after yesterday's debacle, Dan Quinn looked miserable. I just don't think Dan Quinn is the golden child anymore. I don't think you fire McCarthy to keep Quinn. I think you fire McCarthy, McCarthy and Quinn are both gone, and they're going to restart things at the coaching staff. But this is still to be determined. But right now, if you were Jerry Jones, would you terminate Mike McCarthy based on his track record?
Yes, because if I'm Jerry Jones, I'm 81 years old. I've owned this team for a long time.
Yep.
And, it's the 13th straight playoff appearance without reaching an NFC title game. Jerry Jones is a winner. He wants to win now. He doesn't want to take time to build up. And in Mike McCarthy, I mean, you are exactly right. He's had very successful regular season tenure in Dallas. But 3-1 and outs for McCarthy in the playoffs in his four-year tenure. That's rough. And I think this is a business, and really the regular season doesn't matter. If you can get yourself into the playoffs, I mean, I know this is a totally different sport, but 2 years ago, the Golden State Warriors were like the sixth seed, and they ended up beating the Boston Celtics in the finals.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. Get yourself in the postseason, and anything can happen if you're well-coached. And, you know, McCarthy's results here in Dallas are very similar to what they were in Green Bay, but he has more talent here in Dallas. So if I'm Jerry Jones, yes, I am moving on from Mike McCarthy. And it's sad to say, because I think Mike McCarthy is a great coach. But I know what Jerry wants, and Jerry makes it very clear what he wants. And he told the Dallas locker room today, I want to win now. And it's not going to happen under Mike McCarthy. Do I think he should elevate Dan Quinn to the head coaching position? Absolutely not. Because yesterday's collapse was not on the Dallas offense. Now, Dak did have two turnovers, but he also had over 470 yards of offense. I mean, he had a lot of offense. But the defense couldn't make any stops. Green Bay scored on six of their first seven drives.
Yes.
So that's on Dan Quinn.
Yeah, it really was on Dan Quinn in that regard. And that, look, the Cowboys' best shot to get back into it was that what they call the middle four, the last 2 minutes of the first half and the first 2 minutes of the second half. And they did put up 10 points in those two drives. But it didn't matter because the Cowboys' defense couldn't stop the Packers. Every time the Cowboys would score, the Packers would come right back down and answer it. So the Cowboys weren't closing the gap very well. And it was really a struggle for the Cowboys' defense. I've never seen – I mean, the Packers just exploited that. And when I look at the Dan Quinn track record as a defensive coordinator for the Cowboys, when they lose to teams that can really run the ball well. Like the 49ers ran the ball well against them. The Packers ran the ball really well against them.
Aaron Jones specifically.
Aaron Jones did a great job running the ball, and that Packers scheme and running was so effective. Dan Quinn and the Cowboys have always struggled to stop the run, and they knew that coming in. That was the number one narrative coming into the game, and yet Quinn's defense still had two deep safeties way back in a cover two instead of bringing some of those safeties up to help stop the run. Their safeties are good tacklers. Donovan Wilson is a very physical safety. Yet if he's lined up 15 yards off the line of scrimmage, he's not going to do much to stop the run.
No, I agree. And I think I was telling you earlier in our production meeting, when I came in to the game, I was someplace. I came in the third quarter. And I'm watching it, and I'm like, wait. Green Bay was on offense. And I'm like, is the defense not on the field? In the screen of the television, I couldn't see the Dallas defense. They were playing so soft against the receivers. It was very surprising, very non-Cowboy-ish. And I thought, what is happening here? Well, I don't know. And, you know, Quinn is set to interview with Washington, Tennessee, Carolina, and the Chargers.
And probably the Seahawks as well.
I'm sure.
Yes. I mean, he has that history in Seattle. That was the number one rumored destination. Now, Quinn is a darling choice, or was, prior to yesterday's debacle. But there's some other great coaches out there. Let's talk about Bill Belichick for a minute and where he might land.
Oh, boy.
Now, if the Cowboys fire Mike McCarthy, which everyone expects they will, and Dan Quinn departs, it does open things up quite a bit. Could you see Bill Belichick in Dallas?
No.
And why do you say that?
I say that because Bill Belichick, he doesn't talk very much. Jerry Jones talks all the time. Bill Belichick wants control. He was the head coach and the general manager in New England. Now, I don't think he's going to have that opportunity again because he basically kind of stunk as a general manager. Jerry is not going to give him that control at all, and Jerry's going to want to know. Jerry's an owner who's got his nose in it, and he can. I mean, he owns them. He can do what he wants there. I don't see that working at all. Bill Belichick wants to be left alone, have his ripped sleeve hoodie, and does not want to report to any – I mean, he'll report to an owner, yes, because he and Kraft had a good relationship until he let Tom Brady walk. But I don't see that as a good fit at all.
See, the reason why I think it might be a fit, it's almost the inverse of some of the things you're saying. Belichick hates talking to the media. He didn't have to anymore. Jerry will do it all.
No, that's true.
Belichick's problem has been player selection, attracting talent, picking talent in the draft. He didn't have to worry about that anymore. Will McClay, the director of player personnel at the Cowboys, has done an extraordinary job of drafting.
And Stephen Jones as well.
And well, McClay sets the board, right? He ranks all the talent. And then, sure, Stephen Jones comes in and says, okay, based on what McClay is rated. It's not that Stephen Jones is going out and timing people and getting all the data together. Will McClay is the mastermind behind those drafts. And then the Jones have the luxury of getting to pick what McClay has orchestrated. Well, that... Belichick's two problems are talking to the media. He's horrible at it, and nobody likes him at it, and he didn't want to do it. And player development or player acquisition, talent evaluation has been a real struggle for the Patriots. Those are two things that the Cowboys already have built in. The inverse of that, what do the Cowboys really need? They need discipline. They need to stop making the stupid penalties. They need a forceful voice. They need someone who will turn the heads of all the players and get their attention and get them on track. And sometimes these player coaches the Cowboys have had have led the Cowboys to be a very sloppy team. They've led the league in penalties for the last few years. Patriots teams have never led the league in penalties. So you bring in Belichick's discipline, his defensive savvy, and you free him from the things he doesn't do well, and it might just be a fit just the same way that it surprised everybody, but Bill Parcells, when he talks about his time with the Cowboys, was very upbeat. And people would have said the same thing about Bill Parcells. Oh, he needs control. Or, oh, he doesn't like talking to the media.
And did he have a lot of success in Dallas?
He did not have great success. Only they made the playoffs. They didn't really go deep into the playoffs. It was not the great outcome they wanted, but it...
But the personality worked.
They worked, yes. I mean, success is a relative thing. They were a good playoff team under Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back. Next up, we're going to get a chance to visit with Mike Tepper. He's a reporter for the Buccaneers, and the Buccaneers-Eagles are about to take place. Up next here on Sports Map Radio.
This is The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, Sports Map Radio, and we can confirm the Bills have defeated the Steelers, so the Bills will advance. One of the most amazing plays was a 52-yard run by Josh Allen. He had a big game for the Bills. Congrats to them as they advance. And now we get to go out to the Progressive Insurance guest line. With Progressive Insurance, drivers who switch and save, well, they'll save nearly $750 on average. That's Progressive Insurance. And joining us on the Progressive Insurance guest line is a reporter in Tampa, Mike Pepper. Mike, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Hello, David and Carla. How are you?
Well, we are doing great. Thanks so much for joining us on a busy night in Tampa. The Buccaneers hosting the Eagles. Break this game down for us. Are you excited? What's the mood there in Tampa?
Well, there's absolute excitement. Obviously, you know, it's weird that for 3 years in a row, the Buccaneers have won the NFC South, albeit not really with an attractive record after their Super Bowl win. Below 500 this year, but 9-8 with a victory last week got them into the spot, allowing them to host the Eagles. And, you know, we did see this matchup here week three on a Monday night, and the Eagles really just absolutely dominated the Bucs winning that one. So the kind of the thought was that, you know, the Eagles maybe just not a good matchup. But, of course, we've seen what the Eagles have fallen upon the last few weeks. I keep thinking that, you know what, we see this is the team that was in the Super Bowl last year. They looked as good as anyone through the first 11, 12 weeks of the year. They're going to turn it on. Heck, they play the Giants, the Cardinals, and the Giants in the last 3 weeks. And, you know, they'll turn it on, win the division, and so be it. And it wouldn't be this matchup. Well, we all know what happened, you know, two losses in the last two games, and that sets up this matchup. So Bucs fans are very excited, and, you know, the Bucs haven't played great, but they do have a home crowd tonight and a lot of juice behind them, it seems like.
And, Mike, both quarterbacks coming into this game a little beat up, not 100%. How are you feeling about each of those? What side would you take?
You know, and, you know, coming this is, I live in Tampa, but grew up in Oklahoma, so I grew up a huge Sooner fan. So you look at both Jalen and Baker. You know, if you look at Baker, he managed to play through it last week, but he also rolled the ankle a little bit more. He had the rib injury, but those are probably getting a little better. I would think that Baker, given the situation, because it's not on his throwing hand, we know with the Jalen middle finger throughout there. And Jalen has, I love Jalen Hurts. I don't know if there's a better competitor at the quarterback position in the league, but if you watch closely, he seems to fumble the ball a lot. And a lot of that's because he's trying to create a play. And I don't know, with that finger like it is today, if that may be an issue if we see a couple of fumbles from Jalen. Do I think, both quarterbacks will be limited, but they're both incredible competitors, and I don't think either one will make injuries an excuse if it doesn't go well for them tonight.
We are talking to Mike Pepper. He's a reporter for the Buccaneers. He is on the ground at the game with the Bucs and the Eagles. One thing I wanted to ask you about, it is sort of interesting. There you've got these two Lincoln Riley quarterbacks, and they are matching up now here, Mayfield versus Hurts. Fun to see. But you've been looking at this Eagles team and preparation for this game. What went wrong with the Eagles down the stretch? I know there were injuries, but it just felt like they were totally out of sync. What do you attribute the problems? Where are the issues?
That's a great question. You know, I mean, being down here in Tampa, the only reason I'm really seeing that this week is because that's the Buccaneers' opponent. And really, I don't really understand the whole A.J. Brown thing. But, you know, last time we saw him take away all his signs and everything was when he was knew he was leaving Tennessee. I don't know how much of a distraction that is or not. I would think that it's got to be. He's going to be out, obviously, and that's a big loss for the Eagles. That's another reason I think that the Buccaneers are in a better position than what people may think. But could he put up 130 yards or somewhat last time and just really kind of controls the game? I don't know. You know, I mean, here's a team that I think, you know what, his fingers are getting pointed, and you'd like to think that, or I think that the leadership may have done it, but I would have thought that would have taken place the last couple of weeks. I'm really a little bit surprised. You know, I know you asked the question, I don't know the right answer to that. And, you know, maybe that's just being down here in Tampa, but they're going to have to overcome that. I think if things go wrong for the Eagles early, it could be a long day for them.
I agree. And you know what, Mike? I do think that it should not be discounted that the Eagles, sitting at the Super Bowl last year, have lost both coordinators. And I think there's a real disconnect, especially on the offensive end. And that's not talked about enough. I think it's a big difference maker in Philly.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, you look at that, you lose the coordinators, but you know, and it's easy to kind of look at now here as we hit the end of the season and they're in a wild card position after being in such a good position. But even when they were having that great record throughout, they seemed to be winning with a little bit of mirrors. Right, yeah, they were not the dominant team that we saw last year. And so you go, oh, something's maybe wrong, and maybe I've been giving them too much credit all year. And really kind of the ugliness of their situation starting to take place now.
Well, it's so funny. When you say I'm asking the card question, what went wrong with the Eagles, I only ask because I don't know what went wrong with the Eagles. We've been sitting here expecting they were 10-1, 10-1, and they just cratered.
Yeah.
Well, so we're talking to Mike Pepper. He's in Tampa Bay for the big matchup tonight. One thing I wanted to ask you about, Baker Mayfield, of course, yes, he had that illustrious career at Oklahoma that you mentioned, number one overall draft pick, And he kept bouncing around to the point where you might even label him as a journeyman. But now it seems like he's found a home there in Tampa. I'm asking, not stating, but do you think that this is his team now, that he's going to stay and be the quarterback of the Buccaneers? Do they feel like they've found each other and it's going to work out?
I think probably so. I think, you know, you look at that, obviously the Buccaneers have been in kind of a salary cap situation, having to pay a lot for Tom Brady this year, who's not here, and Baker came in a very affordable contract. He is going to be a free agent, but the Bucs have loved what they've seen from him. And, you know, I mean, we talk about journeymen, but, you know, go back and look at Baker facts. You guys never had an offensive coordinator back-to-back years. Maybe it's Stefanski for that second year, but going from Lincoln Riley into the pros, and Hugh Jackson, and then not, and then Stefanski, and then you had another coordinator.
And
then
Freddie
another
Kitchens.
Now you're in Chicago. Yep. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, and after yesterday, too, or after Saturday, there's still only one quarterback that in Cleveland Browns uniform that's won a playoff game in the last century, or in this century so far, and that was Baker Mayfield. I think he kind of got a bum deal running out of town and probably tried to play hurt. And granted, yes, you know, you make bad plays, and he was trying to force things, so he didn't look great. But I think the patience ran out a little bit too quickly in Cleveland for him. And I do think that the Buccaneers absolutely love Baker Mayfield. And every opportunity would be given for both sides to try to find an agreement. I think both sides are very happy in this situation.
He may have found his home. I mean, that's just a good outcome for him and perhaps for the Buccaneers as well.
Well, you know, in Cleveland, he had more success with commercials than he did on the field. And that's got to be annoying. So
he made a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
You know,
that was.
And what's Alice Cooper doing now with a new neighbor? Does he like Deshaun Watson? Does he like Joe Flacco? Well, I don't know. That's got a good question, right?
Love it.
He is Mike Pepper. He is on the ground. Mike, give us your final prediction of the score. Who wins and by how much?
You know, I've been here in Tampa Bay since 1987. I grew up a Buccaneers fan because of Leroy Salmon being drafted. I don't know if this is my heart or my head, but I believe the Buccaneers win this one by a touchdown. I think if you had asked me 2 weeks ago if they're going to play the Eagles in the playoffs, I would have said no way the Bucs win this game. I think the Eagles do, but I have not been impressed at all with what the Eagles do. I think the Buccaneers, through Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, Baker Mayfield, even Rashad White out of the backfield. I think the Bucs put up a 300-yard passing day, maybe get about 24 points and win this one 24-13.
Woo! There you heard it.
Heard it here.
All right, let's go to Vegas right now. I've got Pepper's numbers. I'm going to go make some bets right now.
All right. If it's a lot different, my phone number may be changed by the end of
the Mike Pepper, thank you so much for joining
us.
Really
Mike.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you all.
So that'll be a fun matchup, actually, because obviously if the Eagles had been the team that we thought they were going to be, if they'd continued that 10-1 type play, I guess we'd be thinking this is a blowout. But it is probably going to be a pretty competitive game with the Bucs at home, Eagles with more total overall talent and a better quarterback. But they're on the road with Tampa, and the wheels have come off in Philadelphia.
Well, and they're moving in. The two teams are moving in opposite directions. Philly, after starting out 10-1, and are 1-5 to end the season. And the Bucs had to win to get in, so they're coming from two different places. But I have to. I agree with Mike, who I'm a big Eagles fan. Love watching them. That 10-1 never felt good.
Yeah,
I didn't like the looks of it. And in the beginning, I was like, oh, well, they're just getting off. I mean, it's a new season, getting dust off, new coordinators. I think the two new coordinators, it's huge. And I know Sirianni has already demoted the defensive coordinator and elevated Matt Patricia. That didn't work well. So I don't know what he's going to do for tonight. But it's a big deal. But I have not felt any comfort as an Eagles fan in that 10-1, even when it was 10-1 before they started the slides. The slide doesn't surprise me, but I hope they can right the ship tonight.
Intriguing times. I mean, it is such a turnaround or such a fall that people are speculating that if the Eagles do not win tonight, Nick Sirianni could be out of work.
Yeah, that's the talk.
Well, we are out of work. We're coming up to the end
sad.
Of our show. Yes,
that was such
a fast show. And we've got, I guess we'll, coming up next, Anthony Pepe, the diehards, will be up here next. But it's been great visiting with you on all fronts. You've been listening to The Boss and The Gloss on Sports Map Radio.